You're with us as we talk about the cheese industry on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be with us this morning. Wisconsin has continued its dominance in the cheese industry amid the pandemic. We were the leading cheese-producing state in May, producing almost 281 million pounds. That's down, though, 1.8% year over year for May. Have you noticed the fluctuations in cheese prices at the grocery store? Have you been stocking up on cheese? We're making more comfort foods like mac and cheese and pizza last night. Are you? We're at 800-642-1234. John Umhafer is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. John, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Let's start with cheddar. So the wholesale price of cheddar reached record highs last month, and then that was just a few weeks after falling to 20-year lows. Can you give us a sense of the volatility there and what the cheese market is normally like?
Well, it's been unprecedented. We're on a roller coaster like we've never seen. It's not unusual for the cheese price to move a penny or two and make news in our industry. But in the last few months, we've gone from the wholesale price that the industry uses, reached $1 for a pound of cheddar. And that has rocketed up to $2.81 just a few weeks ago, like you said, and now has settled back to $2.70 a pound at wholesale. So from $1 to $2.70 is quite the roller coaster for the industry.
What is going on?
Well, this is completely related to the COVID-19 situation. When restaurants abruptly closed and schools and theme parks and baseball parks and the entire food service side of the business closed back in March and April, the bottom fell out of the market. About half the cheese America eats happens in these food service type of locations. And suddenly, within days, that market disappeared. And so the price just plummeted. There was far too much cheese around in America at that point.
What has brought the wholesale price back up?
Well, there was a number of factors that hit simultaneously. One, and probably the biggest, is that about a month ago, restaurants and the distributors to those restaurants realized that the openings were going to start to happen, and they ordered furiously to refill coolers in the restaurant industry. And suddenly, people who hadn't ordered in a while were calling up saying they needed truckloads and many truckloads of cheese from all our makers. At the same time, people are buying more cheese in the grocery store in the last few months. People are cooking at home. And even now, cheese sales are up. Just in the latest data we have is June. It's lagging a bit. But in the week of June 14th, people were still buying 12% more cheese in the grocery store than they had the year before. So overall this year, cheese sales are up 16% at the grocery store. So you've got the food service coming back. You've got retail up. And then even exports rose when the price got low. The world bought our cheese when it went down to $1.
So the market,
all those factors combined.
Yeah, the market really doesn't do well when you have these rigid stop and starts with demand.
Right, you don't see this sort of stop and start. You've never seen virtually the entire food service industry say we don't need cheese for the foreseeable future. It's never happened before.
We're looking at the cheese market, the industry, with John Umhafer. He's Executive Director of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. Have you noticed the fluctuations in cheese prices? Have you been stocking up on cheese or even just buying a little more than you usually would? Are you a dairy farmer or cheesemaker? How has the pandemic affected your business? We're at 800-642-1234. John, what do these fluctuations mean for the prices we're seeing at the grocery store as consumers?
Well, there's always a lag, and we're hoping that we'll see prices normalize at some point here so that it doesn't necessarily take the retail price up too far. The grocery industry tries to take the highs and lows out of the market to keep the consumer, you know, buying. But definitely, I think once you've got prices that have lingered now for several weeks at record highs at $2.70 now at the wholesale, that will translate into the grocery store, without a doubt. And generally, there is a reaction to that. The high cost usually does tamp down demand. We haven't seen it in the numbers yet, though. So it's interesting that consumers are really turned to some comfort foods, I think. And cheddar cheese is one of them. It's up 15% itself. Mozzarella is up 23% over last year in sales at the grocery store. So people are cooking at home, and we haven't seen that price necessarily knock down demand yet.
Is cheddar a good bellwether for what the rest of the cheese industry might be experiencing?
I think it is, although really you look at that, the mozzarella is another key product. But in our industry, we use cheddar as the base price for even the milk that the dairy farmer is paid for. It's considered kind of the key basic product. And it's the one that's made by companies, especially in this pandemic, that needed to store cheese for a while. Cheddar is, of course, ageable. And so when we had too much product a few months ago, everyone turned to making cheddars because they knew they could store it and sell it as aged cheddar if they needed to for the long haul.
I wonder if that spike in mozzarella could be all the pizza that we're consuming?
I think it is. We found on the bright side that the pizzeria industry, and we heard this from a lot of our members, that not only the big chains are actually up in sales, but the small local pizzerias really grabbed onto those opportunities like the Grubhubs and the Dine and Dashes to learn how to become a total marketer of their product. And a lot of those have done well, and we hope survive that for the long haul because they've learn to be a takeout or a delivery service more than they had been before.
As you mentioned there, cheese normally isn't a shelf-stable product, and grocery stores have stayed open during the pandemic. Do you think the higher demand from consumers will continue?
Well, it's interesting. We watched that number changing through time. When the first rush of people hit the grocery store, cheese sales were up about 75% over the week before.
Wow.
everyone bought everything at the grocery store. That settled into the 30%, and now we're in the teens. So we definitely see people, I think, getting back to a mix of getting takeout food or maybe venturing out in states where they can to restaurants. So now we're at 12% more cheese sales than the same week a year before, and that's June data. So we still see people buying more at home, but we think that they're going back to ordering out.
I was looking at May data, and Wisconsin still leads the nation in the amount of cheese produced. Do we stay pretty steadily on top?
Oh yes, yes. You know, many years ago, back in the 80s, California surpassed Wisconsin in the amount of milk produced at the farm. So we never lost the cheese crown that we've had for about 100 years. So we are still the cheese state, without a doubt. And we've got quite a lead in that. And that's due in part to, you know, an industry that's kept growing and really diversified into specialty cheese. And that's really our niche. We've got half the specialty cheeses are made in the United States are made in Wisconsin. And I'm happy to say we've been talking with members and those makers, those smaller makers, those artisans, are hanging in there and in some cases doing well at the grocery store. So we see the industry not necessarily taking too big a hit on the specialty side.
We're sizing up the cheese industry, taking stock with John Umhafer as our guide. He heads up the state's Cheesemakers Association. Are you a dairy farmer, maybe an artisan cheesemaker? How has the pandemic affected your business, your livelihood, without the usual demand? What are your questions about the cheese market and where it's headed? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with more on cheese here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the cheese industry, the market for cheese here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hundreds of dairy farms have shut down this year, and the industry has faced a record number of bankruptcies in recent years. Volatile prices and overproduction are hitting the cheese industry amid the pandemic. Have you seen the ups and downs of cheese prices in recent months? Is your grocery store selling your favorite cheeses? Do you buy directly from a creamery? How are they doing? Join in at 800-642-1234. John Umhafer is executive director of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association, and he stays with us. So, Jen, we were talking there about artisan cheesemakers. It reminds me that we talked with Uplands Cheese in Dodgeville last month. Andy Hatch and his crew there make the Pleasant Ridge Reserve and the Rush Creek Reserve. So if you're a farmstead cheesemaker like Andy, you use the milk from the cows on your farm and you make the cheese there. Does that help you have any more control in these volatile times?
I think it definitely does. The concern for the very smallest, to like Andy, who makes amazing cheese, is those outlets that he has to sell to, and that is farmers markets, which have come back to some extent, and then the sit-down retail outlets, the sit-down restaurants. So there's a concern that, you know, right now in America, at least 50% of the capacity of the sit-down restaurants is still closed. So those high-end cheeses where you actually see them on the menu because they're so special, a lot of those opportunities are gone. So we are worried for and trying to help our artisan members. But at retail, they seem to be doing quite well. So I believe Andy's probably doing well at retail.
Are artisan cheesemakers able to contract, make less cheese, and then expand when they have more demand? Or are their operations pretty set?
Well, it does vary. I think Andy uses all his milk for cheese making. Others use a portion of their milk and do sell the rest to, say, a milk bottling plant. So they have some flexibility. And others purchase their milk from neighbors. So I think, again, there's some flexibility there. So it depends on the maker. But the main concern is whether they can find that end market. And for the most part, we're hearing that they are going to survive these unusual times.
How important is it maybe to find the cheese you like and then trace it, find where it's made and buy directly from the cheesemaker?
Well, we think that's crucial now, especially for those artisans. And I was looking last night if people would visit Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, their website. They've got a great listing that simply takes you to the websites to all the artisans in the state. So we'd love to see people go there and support these folks that are making the cheese that kind of puts Wisconsin on the map.
Help us connect dairy farmers with this process, because dairy has been through so many bankruptcies leading the nation. How has the dairy market and the volatility there affected what you're seeing happening with cheese?
Well, there's a direct connection. Not only is demand up right now, which has taken the cheese market up, but in May, dairy farmers actually contracted the amount of milk that they make. It was down 1.1%. And generally speaking, milk production has been slowly rising across the United States for several years. You might see a 1 or 2% gain in a month. So farmers did react properly, I think, to the real plummet we had in milk prices earlier in this spring. But on that same roller coaster, prices went way down, and now they're way up. So in June, we had a $21 Class 3 milk price, which in an industry where typical might be $16 for every 100 pounds of milk, it was $21. And the farmers this month should be getting a check from the federal government, which was a sort of emergency bailout, given the fact that prices had plummeted all the way down to $12. So they've gone on this roller coaster from $12 a hundredweight in May to what should be $27 in June. It's just incredible.
Will cheesemakers have the same ability to get resources through the CARES Act and other funding that has been trying to help small businesses?
Yeah, there's been some bright spots. Of course, there was the opportunities that all businesses had with the PPP money that was used to keep their employees in place. But also USDA came out with a rather innovative program called the Food Box Program, which is meat and vegetable producers and dairy producers literally putting products in boxes that they give to food pantries and food banks around the country that are ready for the consumer. That box goes right into the consumer's car. So there's been about $3 billion in purchases by USDA to fill boxes like that. And many of our cheesemakers in Wisconsin have been filling orders where they're sending pounds of cheddar, pounds of Monterey Jack, and so forth, pounds of mozzarella that fill these food boxes. And the great thing is that helps the dairy farmer, and it's going right to families that need help right now getting food on the table.
We're learning how the cheese market is faring during these turbulent economic times with John Umhafer. He heads up the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. You can join in. What are your questions about the cheese market? Are you a dairy farmer or cheesemaker? How is the pandemic impacting your operations, and where is it headed next? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Tom now, joining us from Sparta. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning. It sure would be nice if there was a traded market or an established price for some of the high-end dairy proteins like whey protein concentrate 80 or whey protein isolate. And then second, it seems like we need one professional dairy association in Wisconsin, not two. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. John, can you address number one with whey protein?
Sure. Actually, whey protein has really been a star in the dairy industry, and what Tom was referring to is the industry's gone from whey being something that back, 100 years ago was offered to the pigs on the farm to something that they've discovered these short-chain proteins in whey are highly digestible. They are highly useful to the body for muscle building, and of course, you go to a GNC store now and you see the whey on the shelves. And that's that high-end, very distilled whey protein. And right, the market now that's offered is a commodity market at 34% for whey. And he's talking about the higher-end products that could also be traded. They base the price for the high-end products now on the low-end products at a premium.
How do the commodity markets work around these cheeses and something like whey?
Well, it's interesting. There's a lot of cheddar in the United States right now that was made this spring, but the market in Chicago that trades everything from oil to cocoa
grains
to cheddar, yep, grains, those classic Chicago markets, also trades young cheddar cheese. So the whole market that dairy farmers receive a price for, cheesemakers receive a price for, is all based on young cheddar that's traded down at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
And what is that trading like? Is it digital? Is it on a floor? Do you follow it on a ticker?
It is a 10-minute digital anonymous market down in Chicago where people buy and sell cheese by the truckload. So that is where you learn if there's too much cheese in the United States and people are coming to the market with truckloads, or if people are moving away from the market and you see the market price not change. So there's been a lot of sales this spring that have bounced that price to record levels.
Yeah, are there some types of cheeses that are more prone to price instability?
Well, we did find that some cheeses are more prone to instability in the end channel more than a price difference. And that was, we found that makers of, say, blue cheese and feta, if not just the seasonality, people do tend to eat feta cheese, for example, more in the summer. We also found that they tend to be served more at restaurants. So some of those manufacturers were having a difficult spring. Similarly for Parmesan, that is a price-sensitive cheese. It's an expensive cheese because it's one of the most difficult to make, and it has to age for 2 years. So there are different cheeses that have different sensitivities to a market. And when the market does crazy things like it did this spring, some of our makers definitely were hurting.
John, are new cheesemakers getting into the market? Do you see signs that this is a growing industry?
It definitely has had a great run in the last, say, 20 years where we've had artisans come in, people giving cheese a try, and some having great success. I'd say Upland's cheese, as you mentioned earlier, is one of the great stories of an industry where someone came in with a new idea, a new cheese idea, and it has become one of the most famous cheeses in the United States. Up north, you've got Marika Gouda, Marika Penterman, starting to make a real Holland-style Gouda, and that taking off to great effect. So we love to see that in the industry. That's really what puts Wisconsin on the map as the place to go for innovative cheesemakers.
And there's still room for that creativity and that innovation in cheesemaking.
Oh, I definitely think so. There's product that still has never been seen on these shores. If you travel in Europe, travel around the world, that our cheesemakers now do such a magnificent job of inventing, you know, new cheeses for America, but also finding cheeses around the world and bringing them to the United States.
John, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you.
John Umhafer is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. Coming up, a biohazard expert explains what her work entails and what it takes to sanitize in the time of a pandemic. We go on a tour of disinfecting and deep cleaning after confirmed or suspected coronavirus cases. That's after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.